Hey, welcome to Vision. We're honored that you're here. Let's make some noise for everybody watching in Overflow today and on the live stream. Let's welcome them. Welcome to Vision Church. We're honored that you're here. For those of you who are watching online, I want to encourage you to engage with us in the comments section. Let us know where you're watching from. We have a live stream moderator standing by, ready to pray with you and engage with you right there in that comment section. For those of you in Overflow, I know it's a little crowded, a little chaotic. Thank you for being with us, but there is light at the end of the tunnel because we are under construction on East Independence Boulevard, and it is not far away. We don't believe in date setting around here, all right? But in the next few months, that campus will soon open, and we will be one church in two locations on West Boulevard and East Independence. Anybody excited about that? Come on, somebody. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. Today, we're going to be continuing our True Love series, but you're going to hear from a very, very special guest. In fact, we have the distinguished privilege to having two national leaders with us in service today. The first of which I want to introduce is the superintendent of the North Carolina Assemblies of God. He leads over 250 local churches from the Outer Banks to the mountains of North Carolina and over 700 credentialed ministers. He is a pastor of pastors, a pastor to me. Make welcome Pastor Rick Ross, superintendent of North Carolina.
Thank you, Pastor. I mean, so much has happened since I was here just 3 years ago. Isn't God amazing? He is doing so much stuff. And we love your Pastor Tyson and Christina. They're not only impacting this church and this community, he serves on our vision team across NCAG, and you are having an amazing impact on other churches as you lead the way. People are watching, and it's much easier to do it once they see somebody else do it. Hey, I've been here for 4 days with Seek and Save, and as I've been praying over this city, he gave me one word. I believe it's for this church. I believe it's for somebody in this room today. The word is awakening. God is awakening something in your spirit. He's awakening something in this community, and he wants you to know. He knows exactly where you are, what you're going through, and if you open up and give him a chance, he will restore, awaken everything he said to you. He's an awesome God. He loves you. We love you. God bless you all.
Thanks, Pastor Rick. And today, bringing the word of God, we have a distinct honor and privilege to host the General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God, USA, which means that he oversees nearly 13,000 churches across the United States, accounting for 3 million members. Globally, the Assemblies of God accounts for 85 million believers across the world on literally every continent on planet Earth. Today, if you would, make welcome the General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God, Pastor Doug Clay, as he comes to bring the word.
Love you. Hey, thank you so much. Can we do something right off the bat? Can we give Jesus a hand clap of praise this morning? All over the house, in the room, online. Let's just acknowledge the greatness of God. Aren't you glad you know Jesus? Right? I am. He's everything to me, and it's a privilege opportunity. This is number 3. I'm hooked. I'll tell you, if I lived anywhere in driving distance of Vision Church, this would be my home church. Come on. This is a great church that there just seems to be a canopy of the blessing of God on this church. And I can tell you, I'm in a different church every weekend, sometimes 2 or 3 a week, large churches, small churches, urban settings, rural settings. Here's what I can tell you. Great churches are not built accidentally. First of all, it takes the blessing and the favor of the Lord. How many of you know Vision has experienced the blessing and the favor of the Lord on it, a canopy? Great churches also take great people that understand what a church is. We're not just some religious humanitarian group that's doing a few good deeds. We're the body of Christ, the primary agency that God is using in this day to expand his kingdom. So thank you for getting it. Thank you for being a healthy community of Christ followers that's desiring to save souls and make disciples. I think the other things that are characteristic of great churches is called and capable leadership. And I can just tell you, when it comes to the World Assemblies of God Network, you have the absolute best sitting right down there in Pastor Tyson. I mean, God has favored you. And so excited to see what God has in store for you, and really believe in my heart the best is yet to come for this church. I believe that with all of my heart. Well, thank you. It's a privilege to be with you today. Thanks, TJ. Isn't the worship team amazing? I mean, just like excellent. Dude, you rock. So I'm excited to continue in this relationship series and talk to you about one of my, probably my favorite person in the Bible, and the person who I think is most critical for us to have a relationship with, and that's the Holy Spirit. Today, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and you and your relationship with Him. Now, growing up in the Pentecostal church and leading a Spirit-filled denomination, can I just tell you, I've seen a lot of things happen in a Pentecostal church that got ascribed to the Holy Spirit that I don't think He really inspired, okay? I've seen that. I lead the largest Pentecostal fellowship in the world, and I'm not sure everybody that attributes the Holy Spirit for doing what they do is really accurate. It's kind of like a couple years ago, somebody sent me a video clip from a service, a large church in Houston, Texas, right? So it was Christmas time, it was December, and the pastor was talking about Scrooge, Santa Claus, or Savior. Who are you going to worship this Christmas? And when he got to the Santa Claus part, he was just railing on Santa Claus, ripping him apart, talking about the ills of his spirit and all of this, and just laid him out. And then he got to the end of his message, and he said, "Now, congregation, bow your head and close your eyes." And when he did, there was a little lady that stood up in the back, and she said, "Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. Lay off Santa Claus. He's a good man doing a good work in our community." I don't know if that was spirit-inspired or not, but I want to talk to you today about the third person of the Godhead. He's not an it to be debated. He's not a ghost to be feared. He's not the idle spectator of the Trinity. But he's the third member of the Godhead that when you said yes to Jesus, he takes residency inside of your life. And I think that part of the Godhead that lives inside of us when we say yes to Jesus, it's pretty important to have a relationship with him, an ongoing relationship, a growing relationship, a vibrant relationship. Now, I get it. The Holy Spirit doesn't always get the appropriate amount of time or the accurate amount of attention that he needs, primarily because, well, we get God the Father. Everybody has a father, good or bad. We get God the Son. We celebrate that all month in December. The Word became flesh. But God the Holy Spirit, we don't always wrap our mind around him. That's all right. Neither did some of the early believers in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 19, it says when Apollos was in Corinth and Paul was traveling through the interior region, he came upon a group of new believers, and he asked them this question. He said, "Hey, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And their answer was, "We haven't even heard there was a Holy Spirit." So they didn't get it. The other thing about teaching on the Holy Spirit and cultivating a relationship with him, I've discovered that the Holy Spirit is best understood when he's experienced, not just explained. Right? It's kind of like grandchildren. You can talk about grandchildren all you want, but then when you have grandchildren, man, that's a new... In fact, how many of you have grandkids? Can I see you? If you're in the house, you have grand... Yeah, aren't grandkids wonderful? Absolutely. So I want to talk today about cultivating, working out, having a relationship with the third person of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit and the value that he plays in your spiritual formation. Here's what I've discovered about the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit protects you from you and the wrong thinking that the enemy tries to trick you with. The Holy Spirit can protect you from yourself and then the wrong thinking that the enemy tries to trick us with. There's a scripture in Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, and we're going to stay parked in Romans 8 this morning. Paul writes this, "So now there is no condemnation All right, would you say those two words with me? Come on, say them again. No condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, watch this, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. No condemnation. That's freeing. I see it. You probably see it. Too many people live with things that condemn them. They live with guilt. They live with regret. They live with, I wished I would. Too many people live with the very things that God has forgiven them of. And it's the Holy Spirit that can keep you free from that condemnation, that wrong thinking. Again, Paul writes, Romans 8:5, those who are dominated, by their sinful nature, think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Man, I think what that tells me is that I can be free from erroneous thinking, even if it comes from myself, when I allow the Holy Spirit to take control of my thoughts. That's probably why Paul said in Ephesians 6, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. It's the Holy Spirit. You see, I've discovered in my life, I'm never going to defeat myself and the enemy with just willpower. I got to have the strength of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I go through situations at times when myself lies to me. In fact, I'm learning this. I've got to let my God talk be louder than self-talk in my life. Self-talk says, I can't do this. God talk says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Self-talk says, I'm afraid. God talk says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Self-talk says, I don't know how to do this. God talk says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You ever discovered there's a big difference between the cadence of self-talk and God talk? And one of the things the Holy Spirit does is brings alive the God talk and protects us from ourselves and the wrong thinking the enemy tries to trip us with. I discovered this my third day in this position as the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God. I followed an icon. I followed a real statesman, his Dr. George Wood. He had 2 earned doctorates. He was a lawyer. He was a phenomenal, prolific writer. And when things would happen in culture or whatever, he'd write an email and just seem to settle the whole tribe. Well, I was third day in office, already intimidated a little bit by following Dr. Wood. And there were some things happening in culture, things happening politically. And all of a sudden, different people had expectations on how I should respond. You ever lived with the tensions of other people's expectations on what you should do and how you should respond, right? I had friends saying, Doug, you need to come out and make a statement about this. This will really define your administration. I had other people say, don't say anything. This will polarize the church. Just let it go. Say something. Don't say something. I'm thinking, oh, my word, WWGW, what would George Wood do at a time like this? You know, I wanted to wear a bracelet or something. And so I was desperate. And I did something. I've never done this before. I've never counseled anybody do it, but I'm third day in the office, this key position, and I don't know what to do. So I took my Bible, and I had the Bible. I was sitting at my desk just like this. And I said, God, I need a word from you. I need to know, how should I respond to this culture? Should I do anything? Should I say anything? Lord, I know you can teach me in your word. So God, I'm just going to ask you to tell me what to do in Jesus' name. And I let my Bible drop open. Now, I didn't look down. I just took my finger and I plopped my finger straight down. And when I looked down, I noticed I was in the book of Job. And that's okay. God can speak through Job, right? And when I looked down, my finger was right there on Job 3, verse 25, that says, that which I feared has happened, and what I have dreaded most has come upon me. I said, God, that's not from you, right? So I took my phone, I opened Spotify, went to some worship, and then I went to where my daily reading was that day, just in God's word. And I happened to be in the book of Joshua. And I started combing through Joshua, and it had phrases like this: be strong and courageous, Be very strong and courageous. Banish your fear and doubt. Remember, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And can I tell you, in that moment, God talk became a lot louder than self-talk. And I want to challenge you that one of the things that the Holy Spirit does in our life is he brings, if we let him control our thinking, he can protect you from yourself and the wrong thinking that the enemy will try to trip you up with. I think the second thing I've discovered about the person of the Holy Spirit is this. The Holy Spirit can give you a sense of contentment for where you're at, even if where you're at is not ideal. Has anybody ever been in a not ideal situation? A not ideal relationship? A not ideal work? Paul says in Romans 8, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind, watch this, leads to life and peace. That sounds like contentment to me. Life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law. It never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. I think one of the benefits of having an active relationship, a true love relationship with the Holy Spirit, is the space that you give the Holy Spirit to have in your life, you'll have contentment in. But the space that the Holy Spirit doesn't have access to, you're subject to your emotions. You're subject to it. You say, Doug, do you really believe in that? I do. I've discovered it's the Holy Spirit that can help me accept things I can't control. The Holy Spirit can help me trust God's judgment when I'm not sure that would have been my call. The Holy Spirit can ultimately help me to surrender to God's control. But here's a big thing. The Holy Spirit helps me trust God's word by reminding me that he has both the integrity and the ability to back up every single promise he ever made. Amen. Aren't you glad that God doesn't lie? You know, if you've ever been the victim of a broken promise, when someone breaks a promise, it's usually because of two things. Number one, integrity. They don't follow through with what they said they would do. Or secondly, they don't have ability. They don't have the resources to back that up. But I'm telling you, friends, I've discovered that God has both the integrity and the ability to back up every single one of his promises. Yet, I need to be reminded of that often through the Holy Spirit. I suspect I discovered the power of God's word in my own life my freshman year in Bible college. So part of my testimony is I'm like a third generation preacher's kid. I was born and raised in this thing. I cut my teeth in the back of church pews. My dad was the pastor. My mom was the minister of music. Man, I was always at the church. In fact, Sunday nights, I fell asleep in church pews. And a few Sunday nights, I was left sleeping in that pew. Mom thought dad was going to take me home. Dad thought mom was going to take me home. Can I tell you, you can sing all you want, how great is our God, but when you wake up and the lights are out in a church, that's a spooky place to wake up, I'm just telling you. You hear things you shouldn't hear. Oh, I love the church. I knew which Sunday school teacher served the best snacks, and so if the service got going on long, I would go find that supply closet, and I would chow down on Chips Ahoy cookies. So, when I was 9... my dad suffered a massive heart attack, and it took his life. I was 9. My brother was 15. My sister was 18. You know, I didn't really feel the negative impact of being raised by a single mom because I was a part of a healthy, life-giving church, much like Vision. In fact, I just want to say something. If you're watching online or in the overflow room or in person, you know, first of all, if you're here today and you're a single mom, can I just say, number one, you're my hero? And number two, you can make it. You can make it. I'm a testimony of that. But you're going to need the strength of a local church. And if you're a man in this church, would you prayerfully consider being the answer to a single mom's prayer who's desperately looking for a godly man to be a great example for her kids? I grew up with a lot of spiritual dads. Heck, this sounds crazy. I felt sorry for kids who only had one dad because I had all these spiritual dads, the men who would help me build my Pinewood Derby car, men that would take me to Detroit Tiger baseball games or canoe trips. So I grew up not feeling a negative about being raised by a single mom, felt this dream and call on my life to go to ministry, took off to prepare myself to become a pastor. And that's when it happened. So I started meeting other preacher's kids. My roommate was a preacher's kid from Illinois. He would go home on the weekends. He and his dad would give him a chance to take part in the service. His dad would give him an opportunity to be a part of a board meeting or something. Boy, he'd come back. We'd stay up late Sunday night, early hours Sunday morning, just talking church stuff. He would say things like, my dad said this is how we ought to do assimilation. My dad said this is how we ought to do leadership training. My dad said this is how we ought to do community outreach. My dad said. And for one of the first times in my life, I felt like I had been cheated by God. I thought, Lord, I would like a dad that would walk out these principles with you. I like a dad that would mentor me. Now watch this sidebar comment. One of the reasons why your pastor puts a lot of scripture in his teaching, it's because I don't know about you, but when you go through one of those why is this happening to me type times, if you're not careful, you'll have a tendency to listen to your emotions rather than the truth of God's word. And can I tell you, my emotions lie to me at times. My emotions don't always tell me the truth, but God's word will not lie to me. So I convinced myself that God was unjust, doesn't know what he was doing, and I was going to quit school, go home, and take care of my mom. I'll never forget. I called her. It was a Wednesday night. I said, Mom, this doesn't make sense. Why would God do something so unjust to our family? Connect the dots for me. And like only a cool, godly pastor's wife mom could do, she said, honey, I can't answer all your why questions. But I can promise you this, and my mom broke into this really cool prayer. Her prayer went something like this. Lord, you said in your word, I got to tell you, I grew up with my mom using that phrase an awful lot. But I'm just going to confess something to you. I don't think everything she said was in the book was really in the book, okay? I think she used that phrase to leverage her authority against us boys. But boy, this time she was spot on because she said, Lord, you said in your word you'd be a father to the fatherless. And I claimed that promise for my son, Doug. But we hung up and I didn't feel any better. A couple days later, there was a chapel service where there was a missionary from South America. And man, I don't remember what he spoke about. I just know that when he challenged all the students to come forward and they came forward, I didn't. I just turned around, and I knelt in my chapel seat. By this time, I was having a pity party for myself. God, you're unfair. You know what you're doing. You're unjust. I'm going to quit school. I'm in that knelt position, feeling sorry for myself, listening to my emotions rather than the assurances of God's word. And pretty soon, I felt the strength and the warmth of this large hand placed on my back. I turned, and I looked, and there was Coach Arnold. Coach is 6'6", 250 pounds, a hulk of a man. He had his, I started to say paw, but he had his hand on my back. And when I turned and looked, he had a tear coming down his cheek. He said, Duggar, I knew your dad and I know your mom. Both of them would be really proud of you. And then it happened. He took his hand, he put it over my shoulder, and he pulled me really tight into himself. And he said these words. He said, I just want you to know, Doug, that as long as you're at Central Bible College, I consider you like my own son. When he said son, I jumped up and I tried to hug him and he hugged me and I snotted and cried all down the front of his shirt, right? But in that embrace, it was like instant replay went off in my mind. That 48 hours earlier, there was a godly mom who said, Lord, you said in your word. Look, I can't promise you that life is going to be hassle-free. I can't promise you that you're not going to go through some
relational difficulties and hurt. I can't promise you that good people aren't going to disappoint you. I can't promise you that you're going to get unexpected negative news, whether it's physically or job-related, all of that kind of stuff. But here's what I can promise you. The Bible says, though mountains may crumble and seas run dry, it's the word of our God that stands forever. And if you'll give the Holy Spirit accurate space in your life, he'll bring to your mind the truth of his word rather than the screaming lies of your emotions. He will. A sense of contentment. The mind that's controlled by the Spirit leads to life and peace. I was ready to quit. I was ready to throw in the towel. I was ready to walk away from the... But the mind controlled by the Spirit, and I believe that the Spirit, one of the things he loves to do is bring to your remembrance the scriptures of truth that will keep you from... Yeah, so my life, boy, my relationship with the Holy Spirit, he's protected me from me. He's given me a sense of contentment for where I'm at, even with where I'm at's not ideal. But I love this part of my relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's the person of the Holy Spirit that can bring intimate fellowship with God. Bring to me intimate fellowship with God, unlike anything I've ever experienced. That's his job. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. You say, what does that mean? Well, consider what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 or 13, 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, now watch this, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Message translation talks about the friendship of the Holy Spirit. You see, if you study the Holy Spirit when he was introduced by Jesus in the New Testament, whether you've studied him in the early church, whether you've even studied the types of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, one of the primary jobs of the Holy Spirit is to help you stay aware of the presence of Jesus, to keep you aware. I have to be honest, sometimes we get omnipresence better than we get manifest presence. You say, well, hey, what's the difference? Okay, omnipresent. That's sort of a theological term that describes an attribute of God. It simply means that God is everywhere at once. He can be Lord over Africa, Lord over America, you know, Lord over Vietnam. He's everywhere at once, and we get that. Manifest presence means God's right here, right now, right next to us in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he's not just an omnipresent God. He's right here, right now, right next to you. And I think at times we get omnipresence better than we get right here presence. You know, I don't know about you, but it's mind-boggling to me to know that God never has to go anywhere to be there because he's already there. And he's with you. It's probably what the psalmist meant when he says he's an ever-present help in times of trouble. And if you'll let the Holy Spirit, he will keep you aware of Jesus' presence in your life, right here, right now. Ah, presence. I discovered the power of presence in my grandson, Jackson. I know there were some hands waved of grandparents in the house here, but so we have eight grandchildren, ages 11 down to 8 months. And here's what I've discovered. You know, the reason why grandparents and grandkids get along so well, it's because we have the same common enemy, their parents. It's true. So a few years ago, Jackson, my oldest grandson, we decided it would be okay for him to have an overnighter at Papa's house without his parents. Now, it took a lot of convincing of his mom, my firstborn, that we could do this, but we tag-teamed together, and we brought her into an understanding this would be okay. Man, I'll never forget. I went to pick him up that night. I pulled in the driveway, and he was standing right there in the door. He had a Spider-Man backpack just jammed with stuff. He had little fruit snacks in there. He had Paw Patrol DVDs in there. He had his jammies in there. And when I came in the driveway, I said, Papa, Papa. I said, Jackson, are you ready to come to Papa's house? He said, yeah, I am. So I went up, and I grabbed his hand, and we started walking back to the truck. And all of a sudden, his mom, my firstborn, and cleared her throat. Dad, I said, yeah. She handed me a 3x5 card
with a set of six very specific instructions on them. I thought I raised her better than that. So I start reading these instructions. I get down to instruction number three. It says, Dad, comma, after 6 p.m., please make sure you put 2 parts water, 1 part apple juice in his sippy cup. Well, I'm thinking, we don't do mixed drinks at Papa's house. We're 100% Dr. Pepper at Papa's house. Come on, somebody. 2 parts. Yeah, okay, babe, got it. I got in the truck. I tore that sucker up. I said, come on, Jackson, we're going to have fun. And we did. We had a blast. We played wiffle ball and hide-and-go-seek outside. We watched Paw Patrol cartoons. We ate those Welch's fruit snacks, juicy things, gummies, or whatever they are. We just had a blast. He got his bath. He got his jammies on. It was textbook perfect. Just about the time he was to retire, a southwest Missouri storm whipped up, loud thunder, flashing lightning, and I could tell my little buddy was anxious. So I said, Jackson, do you want to sleep in Papa's room? He said, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. So I made him a sleeping area just down on my side of the bed. And I said, now, little buddy, lay down. So he'd lay down. Boom, a crack of thunder would, he'd pop up. I said, you're okay, lay back down. He'd lay down, flash of lightning would, he'd jump up. This happened about 4 times. Then I said something. Now, I don't know where this came from that I said to him, because what I told him makes no meteorological sense, makes no theological sense, just sort of came out. But I looked at him, he kept popping up when the thunder and lightning was flying. I said, listen, little buddy, you don't have to be afraid of thunder. After all, thunder is nothing more than just God moving his furniture up in heaven. Don't judge me, Grandma. Don't judge me. You would have put Robitussin in that sippy cup, so don't judge me, woman. Oh, he said, okay. Laid back down. Next crack of thunder, he did not jump up. I'm like, cool. I'll let his kids pastor work on his theology. I just want him to fall asleep. So he's down. I'm thinking all's good. I roll over, and I'm just about out. And just about the time I'm out, a loud, reverberating thunder hit. Come on, grandparents. You know that we have an extra sense. I'm laying like this, but I could feel a set of eyes just looking at me. I could feel. So I roll over, and sure enough, Jackson, he's not standing all the way up. He's just looking above the mattress, just. His eyes are wide, and I roll over, and before I could say anything, he said, Papa, do you think that I could lay with you till God quits moving his furniture? I said, you bet. So I picked him up, and I plopped him down in bed with me, and in 30 seconds, he was out. You know, I couldn't convince that little tyke that the storm on the outside wouldn't hurt him on the inside. But as long as he was in close proximity to Papa, he had a sense of security to rest comfortably, even though there was a storm going on the outside. I'm telling you, sometimes the best thing you can do is just get close to Papa. Let the Holy Spirit bring you into a proximity with the Lord, that intimate fellowship that the work of the Holy Spirit accomplishes for you. Some of that just starts by regular church attendance. You see, regular church attendance helps because church attendance and participation in church gives us a break from doing life horizontal. You know, when you spend life doing it horizontally, it's tough, it's stress-filled, it's cutthroat. But when you can come for 70 minutes and declare the greatness of our God and to sing about his redemption, his forgiveness, 10,000 reasons, and the angels cry, holy. I mean, I almost just started crying. It's the third time I sung the song today. And I don't know if it probably didn't have anything to do with the lyrics. It just had to do with I'm in his presence. And it's given me a break from this type of living to that type of living. So the Holy Spirit, through the connectivity of being involved in a church, but also, just by giving him space in your life, giving him place in your life. I get it. If you've gone through a new believer's class, particularly if you're a Christ follower, you know that when you said yes to Christ, the Holy Spirit came in, lives there. But here's my challenge for you today in this relationship series and building your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Here you go. Don't let the Holy Spirit just dwell in you. Let him reside in you. Let him have all access. You see, what's the difference? Well, it's kind of like the difference between dwelling in a hotel and living in your home. Last night, I dwelled in a hotel, and I have a key. That key let me into a room. That key let me into a workout facility. That key, if they were open, I could have charged some snacks to my room. But I had limited access. But if you were to come to my house in Springfield, Missouri, I got all access. I can go to cupboards, refrigerators, closets, different, but I got all access because I live there. I reside there. And I'm telling you, Vision Church, there's a huge difference between letting the Holy Spirit just sort of dwell and giving him all access, giving him full residency, letting him be Lord of your ambitions, Lord of your dreams, Lord of your hurts, Lord of your concerns. I'm telling you, in culture today, there's a lot of free-floating anxiety out there that wants to attach itself to you. But if you'll let the Holy Spirit do what he does best, making you aware of the presence of Jesus, you'll understand what Paul meant by saying, and the intimate fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Holy Spirit, it's not a ghost, not an it, not a concept, not just part of a creed. He's the third member of the Godhead that when you said yes to Jesus, he takes residency in your life. And I pray you'll grow in that relationship with him. Hey, let's pray. So just before I pray, I want to acknowledge that there are two groups of people here that I want to pray for. And if you're watching online or you're in one of the overflow rooms, will you lean into this moment? If you're online, don't toggle away. I really want you to lean in. If you're here today and you've never come to that place in your life where you know for certain if you were to die today, you would spend eternity in heaven. You've never come to that place where you know that you know that you know you've been adopted into God's forever family. Never come to the place where you've totally surrendered your life to the Lord. Or you've come to church. You got friends in the church. You know the church cadence. You know the church rules, what time the doors open and all that. But if you're honest, you don't live with the full confidence the Holy Spirit is resident in your life. And today you would like to, you'd like to seal that understanding. You just like to, you'd like to know that you know that you know. I want to pray for you. So would you bow your head and close your eyes? And if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Clay, would you include me in your final prayer? I want to know that I know that I know that the Holy Spirit is in me. I want to know that, yeah, my life belongs to him and I belong, I'm a part of his royal kingdom family. I'm not going to embarrass you and I'm not going to have you come forward. I just want to include you in a prayer. So if that describes you, Doug, I live with guilt. I live with condemnation. I want to start living with the full confidence that I'm his and he's mine. That describes you. I just want you to raise your hand and look at me because I want to have the privilege of praying. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Someone else join these four adults. If you're watching online, there are online monitors. Thank you, sir. Just hit a thumbs up emoji or something like that, a raised hand emoji, and man, we'll know that's you. Yeah, thank you. God bless you. I want you to live with this understanding that God himself, through the person of the Holy Spirit, wants to take residency in your life, not to just dwell in some cavity, but really become Lord of your life, thinking, emotions. Is there anyone else? I just say, hey, Pastor, please include me in your final prayer. Yeah, cool, thanks. All right, this is what I want to do. I want to pray. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and if you're comfortable, I'd like you out loud to repeat this prayer after me. In fact, I'd like the entire church Some of us have prayed prayers like this before, but today it's for about 6 or 7 individuals who said, I want to know that I know that I know that I'm a Christ follower and that the Spirit lives in me and I can have a relationship with Him. So Vision, would you simply just repeat this simple prayer after me? Repeat it out loud. Lord Jesus, I believe You're the Christ, Son of the living God, who came from heaven to earth to die for my sins. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Establish Yourself as my Savior and my Lord, and give me confidence that I belong to You. So with my mouth I confess, and in my heart I believe that You are the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name, amen.